I feel a little bit uncomfortable with tonight's topic. Tonight in Ritz Hashem, we're going to talk about doctors, medicine, and healing. Ah, for sure, my father, the doctor. And I feel that just given the topic tonight more so than usual, we offer our hopes and prayers that this year should be for as chus for Refuah Shleima, for Chaim Yisachar ben Chaim Mushkit, Yediri ben Mazal, Yaakov Yitzchak ben Ba Yisara, and Sarah Rivka Bas Chana b'soch Shar Chol Yisrael. Mirtz Hashem, this year we'll bring a Refuah Shleima b'karav to those who are in need, and Mirtz Hashem, the chus of our learning should be a merit for all of us who, God willing, are healthy and well, that we should stay that way for the rest of our lives. Talking about doctors, medicine, healing is a very touchy topic. Not only because I have a brother-in-law who's in the midst of a long and difficult healing process, but in general, when you talk about these areas, you know, there's a concern you might insult someone. Chazal, we'll see, have interesting approaches when it comes to doctors. I asked Mechila, my father, any other doctors in the room? Pre-med? Med students? But there are things that we'll say tonight which hopefully will be very encouraging to doctors, and things which might be a little bit discouraging, maybe slightly offensive. Things that I think will be a source of great chizuk to someone who's not well, not yet well. And at a time, sometimes a chola just feels that given his personal difficulty, personal struggle that he goes through day in and day out, he or she is not prepared to hear these types of words. So as a disclaimer, before we begin, I guess my advice to everyone is to use your seichel and to use your good judgment in how we choose to internalize these ideas, and all the more so if we choose to share it with others, especially those who are in the medical profession or people who are struggling with an illness. Parsha begins with many mishpatim, things that are explicitly described, things that are implicitly described, and then the Torah describes the following fight between two men. Two men who engage in a fight. Source number one, two men get into a fight and one of them picks up a rock and throws it at the other, or he strikes him with his fist. He doesn't kill him, but he injures him, and he falls sick into bed. Eventually this person has a recovery. There's an obligation the Torah expresses, there's an obligation, as Rashi will explain to us in source number two, that the person who is guilty of causing this damage has an obligation to pay for the medical bills of the one who is damaged. Says Rashi, source number two, based on the Targum Unkelis, Yishalim Schar HaRofe. V'rapo Yirapeh, he needs to pay for his doctor bills. Okay, Mirza Shemeli, he has a recovery and he's expected to pay for the doctor bills amongst other penalties. But Chazal take a further step back and they say, hold on a second. If the Torah is telling us that a person has an obligation to pay for medical bills, so apparently the Torah is acknowledging that there's a concept of going to a doctor and seeking medical treatment. And that's what the Gemara concludes after some discussion in both Brachos and Bava Kamma in source number 3. Gemara has an interesting discussion, a little bit of a back and forth, whether or not it's appropriate for one to go to a doctor at all. Gemara says, Hanichnas lahakiz dam, a person who goes to let blood, he should say the following tefillah. Yihir atzon lefanecha Hashem Elokai. That the procedure that I'm about to engage in should bring a refuah to me. Ki kel rofei nemanata, because Hashem, you're a truthful, a loyal God, urufuascha emes, and your healing ability is truthful. And then you say the following. This is still part of the yiratzon. Lefisha ein darkan shobanei adam lerefaos el shenagu. It's really, truthfully, we acknowledge it's not proper really to go to a doctor, but people do it. People do it. And therefore, Hashem, we hope that you'll accept our efforts and Amir Tashem, you'll bring us a refuah. Comes along Abai and says, don't say that last part. It's not proper to say the last thing. Amar Abai, lo lema inashachi, a person shouldn't question his right to be healed. The Tani de Be'er B'Yishmael, v'rapo yirapei, the Torah says, v'rapo yirapei, mikan chenin the reshus, l'rofei l'rofos. The Torah grants permission for doctors to perform acts of healing. What's the chiddush of the Gemara? Why would you think not? What's the havamina that you couldn't go to a doctor? So Rashi explains above a kama, you would think that going to a doctor might be going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his master plan decides to make a person not well, and you go behind Hashem's back, it's almost heretical to try to undermine Hashem's divine plans. And that's what Rashi tells us in source number 4. Don't say, V'lo amrinan, Rachmana mache v'iu mase. Don't say, Hashem is afflicted, who am I to heal? The Gemara says, don't say that. The Torah grants permission for a doctor is given permission to do whatever he needs to do in order to heal someone who's not well. Now there's a part of us that's still not satisfied. Because the Svara that's troubling the Gemara, that's bothering Rashi, is still a very good Svara. Why not put our faith in a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Doesn't it seem on some level that we're going behind Hashem's back again to seek medical help when a Kadosh Baruch Hu has afflicted a person with an illness? Seems to be a lack of a mood on our part to do meddling in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's business. So I think the following medrash will give us some perspective, maybe some comfort for those of us who are, you know, more inclined to going to doctors. And that, in fact, we'll see is the halacha. A person should pursue the Gemara's advice and pursue medical help as necessary. Medrash tells a story. It's a medrash in Sefer Shmuel, source number 5. Ma'aseh Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Akiva Shehu Mehalchen B'chutzos Yerushalayim. Two of the greatest Tanaim, Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yishmael, were going for a stroll in the outskirts of Yerushalayim. Via Iman Adam Echad, and there's this third unnamed character who was traveling, who was walking with them. Paga Behem Adam Chola. Person who was not yet well came and approached them, and he asked the following advice of these great Tanaim. Amar Len Rabosai, Amru Li B'Ma'as Rape. Please give me medical advice. I'm not well. Here are my illnesses. Tell me, what can I do to heal myself? Amrulo, they said to him, Kach lecha, kach v'kach ashitis rape. Take the following medication, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, they put together a concoction for him. Take the following, and Amir Tashem, you'll have a refuah shlema. Amrulan oso isha hayiman. So this third fellow who was walking with them, right, brazenly turns to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, and he says, let me ask you a question. Mihika oso acholi. Who afflicted this person with illness? Amrulo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Tanaim said, of course, it was the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amar lehen, v'atem ichnastem atzmechem b'davar she'eino shelachem. So what are you doing, sticking your head into a Kadosh Baruch Hu's business? Who are you to go behind Hashem's back and offer healing to this individual? Right? Hu hika v'atem misrapin. Exactly Rashi's svar. Hashem afflicts, and you have the chutzpah to heal? So they turn back to this fellow, and they say to him, Amar lo, ma malachtecha. Tell me, what do you do for a living? He says to them, Amr lehen, Ovid ha'adama, I'm a farmer. V'yamagal bi'adi, don't you see the sickle in my hand? Amr lo mi baras ha'adama. So they say to him, okay, very nice. You're a farmer. So who created the earth? So he says, mi baras ha'kerem, who created the vineyard? Amr lehen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God. Amr lo, v'atam machnes atzmecha b'davar she'enu shecha. No, and you involve yourself, and you work the land? Chutzpah. Hu baros so v'ata ochel piran shalau. Hashem grows fruit, and you have the chutzpah. You steal it, you take it from him. Belongs to him. Amr lehen, so he says to them, Eina temro and amagul biyadi, don't you understand what the role of the sickle is in my hand? Ilule shani yotze v'charsho, mechascho, mezavlo, v'nachsho, if I don't go out and I don't plant and I plow and I weed and do all the things that are necessary to maintain the field, lohela ma'uma. This field's going to lay barren, it's not going to produce anything. So they say to him, shota sheba olam, don't you hear what you're saying? Don't you realize that man is just like the grass of the field? Just as the field, if you don't work it, you don't plow it, you don't fertilize it, it's not going to produce anything. And even if it does, and even if it were to produce, if you don't take care of it, it's as good as dead. Your body is like the tree. Hazevel hu asam. The fertilizer is like the medicine. Isha dama hu arofe. And the farmer, who's so busy working in the field, that's like the doctor who works to put all these pieces together. So it's totally appropriate and it's in line with the Ratzon Hashem for a person to pursue any type of healing or any type of treatment. Very comforting medrash to hear it from the mouths of such Tanayim like Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. Now let's just pause for a second and go back to the Torah's case. Because the Torah's case for Apo Yerpe, what was the case? Two men got into a fight. So perhaps we'll suggest the following. Okay, hold on a second. If Hashem afflicts a person, then maybe you have to sit back. If another human being gives you a man-made injury, so then maybe it's appropriate for you to deal with it. But if Hashem strikes you in a way that again is not your own fault, it wasn't irresponsible on your part, and it wasn't by another human being, so then maybe you have no right to be involved. Right? Such a svara might enter our mind. And Tosfos says it's not true. Right, and he proves it from the pasuk itself. Tosfos asks in source number 6, Tosfos in Bava Kamma, why is it that the Torah says Virapo Yerpe? Why do you need the double lashon? Why the double expression? Heal, he shall be healed. Says Tosfos, source number 6. V'im tomer v'ha me rapo lachude shamin alei. Maybe one word would have been enough. Virapo. Period. Why v'rapo yirape? V'yesh lomar dahava mina hanimili makab diadam. Because you would say, it's just like the Torah's case. If someone else throws a rock at you, if someone else strikes you and you're injured, then you have a right to heal. Aval b'choli ababi deshamayim. But if Hashem afflicts you, kishemarap in yirke soser gezer samelach, you look like one who's what? Who's denying, who's negating the decree of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'rapo yirape kamash v'lan deshari. Says the Torah, v'rapo yirape, you can pursue healing if it's an infliction that's brought upon you by another human being, or even if it's an affliction that's been brought upon you by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not seen as heretical to try to heal an illness which very clearly is brought upon you by the hand of heavens. Now there's a second distinction that some Rishonim try to make as well. Maybe we should draw a distinction between external illness and internal illness. External illness, I can see what I'm dealing with, I have a right to be involved. But maybe that which is taking place internally, and certainly the Rishonim in their times didn't have the equipment, didn't have the wherewithal to be even, to have a clue of what was going on internally. Nowadays, maybe you could argue it's different. We have better tools, better equipment, to have a better sense of what's going on internally, even though we still don't have a full sense. Right? So maybe we should draw a distinction. Again, if it's something external, maybe a doctor can be involved. And if it's internal, maybe just pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some Rishonim bring that svar, Rabbeinu Bachaya and Ibn Ezra, amongst others, bring such an idea in source number 7. Umasha amru chazal v'rapo yirapei mikan shenin nereshus l'rofe l'rofo, says Rabbeinu Bachaya, lo amru ela b'maka shebechutz, shekasim medaber bo. After all, that's the Torah's case. Someone strikes you externally, you're injured, so you go to a doctor v'rapo yirapei. Aval b'choli mibifnim. But if a person is suffering from some type of internal illness that he can't see with his own eyes, ein zeh tole b'yad harofe, ela b'yad harofe kol basa. In such a case, you turn to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and you say, Hashem, I don't really understand what's going on inside of me. And therefore, maybe I shouldn't bother with the doctors. What does the doctor know more than me? He can't see, I can't see. It's guessing. So better I should put my faith in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Do we follow such a svar? It seems to make sense on the surface. So again, in such a case, we don't follow such a svar. And if a doctor, certainly nowadays where he has the ability, again, to look internally. Right? But even then, even in the olden days, if a doctor had some sense, if he wanted to take a guess and try to do something to heal this individual, he has the right to do so. Even against the opinion of these Rishonim. And that's many, posts can point this out, I'll just share with you source number 8. Chacham Avadi Yosef, in his Shas and Chuvas Yichav Adah, says, V'afilu machola yesh lo machal apnimis, shomim l'diver rofe. Even if it's an internal difficulty that this person is struggling with, we listen to the doctors. Umechalim alav Shabbos Yom Kippurim. We're prepared to violate Shabbos, to violate Yom Kippur. Whatever you have to do, if there's a chance you can help someone who's not well, then we do it. And he says where it's bolded. Va'afilum haya, Rabbi Avram ibn Ezra cholek al zeh. And if you'll tell me, one of the great Rishonim, the Ibn Ezra, argues on this concept, and many others support him. While we have the utmost respect for the great Rishon, the Ibn Ezra, but if the poskim say that we treat illness that's internal, so Ibn Ezra's opinion falls to the wayside. And he quotes a tshuva from the Tashbetz that, again, we don't follow the opinion of Ibn Ezra when it conflicts with the opinion of the halachic poskim. So halacha l'maisa, just to complete this introductory overview to the concept of healing, we look at the words of the Shulchan Aruch in source number 9. Shulchan Aruch Nir Adeya writes very clearly in Siman Shin Lamed Vav, Nitna HaTorah Rishus L'Rofei L'Rofos. The Torah has granted very clearly permission to doctors to do what they need to do. U'mitzvahi. And not only is it Rishus, you might say, well, it's a Rishus. It's optional. No. Once it becomes permitted, it becomes a full-fledged mitzvah. You can look in the footnotes if you want to see more sources on this idea, but it's a full-fledged mitzvah 100%. If the doctor refrains from doing whatever he can to assist the chola, he's equated with a murderer. And even if he says, well, someone else might be better equipped to help this person who's not well, it's not necessarily the case. Do what you can. Why? Very interesting, says the Shulchan Aruch, Shalom min hakol adam zochel yisrapos. Because Hashem might want a particular chola to be healed by a particular doctor. And it could be that even if you went to the world's greatest expert, and he's not successful, so pursue another doctor. Some Rishonim learned, some of the Baal HaTosfos learned, V'rapo yirapei, try whatever you can do. If it doesn't work in one place, V'rapo, you went to one doctor, it didn't work, so go to another doctor. And he may be less of a world expert, and he may have less experience, and he may have some type of alternative technique that he wants to try on you. Do whatever you can to save your life. It's not considered a lack of amuna and bitachon to put in one's shabbos. So this is the halacha. This is how the Shulchan Aruch records it. Yeah, question? Either way.
Right.
Right, so we'll talk about the interplay between the physical and the spiritual towards the end of this year. But yeah, there's no question that the chola has to make a cheshbon nefesh. He has a responsibility to ask himself spiritually, is there something better that I could do to remove this, you know, this physical difficulty? But at the same time, he has every right to pursue, you know, medical assistance in the real world kind of way. Okay. Now, even if a person wants to involve himself, as the halacha clearly says, this is our reality. Ein som chanal anes. We have a responsibility to pursue, you know, again, in a very real way, medical assistance. Right? But at the same time, a person has to keep a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the picture. Every step of the way, we have to acknowledge that Hashem is the true doctor, and He is the one who truly contains the keys to healing. So a story of the Chazon Ish brought down in the Pe'er Ador, in the fourth volume, page 115-116, tells a story that the Chazon Ish one time was approached by a fellow whose child wasn't well. And as this person walked in, the Chazon Ish had just begun to recite Asher Yatzar. And this fellow couldn't even wait. He blurts out, "My child's not well." He says it to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is trying to concentrate on his bracha, the bracha of refuah, after using the restroom. And the Chazon Ish raises his voice and says, "Rofei chobasar umafli lasos." And he turns to this fellow and he says, "Don't you hear? A Kadosh Baruch Hu does wonders. Mafli lasos. Put your faith in a Kadosh Baruch Hu." And he wasn't telling him not to go to a doctor. "But you want my bracha? Put your faith in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he'll provide for you." And that person was able to strengthen himself in his emunah, and Baruch Hashem, that child was able to have a refuah shlema. We want to keep a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the picture. Even with the heter and the mitzvah of pursuing medical treatment, we want to keep a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the picture as much as we can. Just to share a simple technique that a person can do. And again, the person doesn't, you know, God forbid, have to be terribly ill to apply this to real life scenarios. A person goes for any type of procedure. Right? Be it something major, be it something minor. The Shulchan Aruch says there's a tefillah that a person should say before he begins. And if you forget the actual text of this Yiratzon, well, first of all, you could go to the health food store on Queen Anne Road. I heard they have cards that have this, very nice. You could carry it with you at all times when you say when you take some medicine or the like. Right? But if you forget, so just talk to Hashem. Say, "Hashem, as I'm taking this pill, as I'm swallowing this Tylenol, this Advil, I'm acknowledging that you are the one who really can take. Yes, you've endowed this medicine with the ability to heal, but it's really from you." Says the Shulchan Aruch, source number 10, "Anichtas lahak is dam, a person who goes to let blood, Omer yiratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokai, shei esik ze li l'refuah. Hashem, please allow this procedure to work. Ki rofei chinam at..." Oh, here we go. You have the card right here. Psh, very nice. Thank you. I'm going to give it back to you. "Ki rofei chinam at Hashem, you heal for free. You don't charge a penny for your services. Ula'achar sheheikiz yomer, and after you complete the procedure, you should say Baruch Rofei Cholim," which according to the Mishnah Berurah says, according to many posts, we should say that with a real bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Rofei Cholim. Say it in a very real way. Again, we don't say it that way, but to realize there are brachos we say every time we involve ourselves in a medical procedure. And the Mishnah Berurah clarifies in source number 11, "V'hu hadin b'chol midei derefuah." This is not limited to bloodletting, and this is not limited to major surgeries or major medical procedures. Anytime you involve yourself in any type of refuah, yomar zeh, v'lo yachshav shtia eizeh davar lo l'refuah, ela yedei abor yis baruch shmo. And remind yourself that the true healing comes from God and only God. You put your full faith in Hashem. You remind yourself, really, where does the refuah come from? I saw the Nishmas Avram, which is a volume of medical halacha. He goes so far as to say, he says, if a person puts a band-aid on his finger, he should say this. You know, you think about what's going on. What takes place when the blood congeals, for the blood of your finger to clot properly? Right? It's a mamash and ace. So if a person is involved in any type of medical procedure, be it major, be it minor, a person should recite this tefillah. And that's how we keep a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the picture. Again, you do what you can as far as seek medical advice, medical assistance in any way possible. But a person has to acknowledge himself that Hashem is the true healer. And there are a lot of good reasons why we would want to do that. The way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu heals is radically different than the way that a doctor of flesh and blood heals. Just to point out a few of the advantages. And go back to the Gemara that we started with, right? The source where there was a bit of a machlokas: should one pursue healing? Should one not pursue healing? We referred to Hashem in that initial yiratzon, right? The yiratzon that ended, well, it's not really proper for one to pursue medical advice, but we do it, so Hashem, make it work. We call Hashem in that field. We said Hashem is a kel rofei nemanata urefuasa emes. The way that you heal is truthful. The way that a doctor of flesh and blood heals is not necessarily as truthful. What does that mean? Hashem is, your healing ways are true. A doctor has the ability to partner with Hashem and to heal in a truthful way. Explains the Ben Yishchai in source number 12. Yesh lahakshus. Ma inyan emes yesh berfua. If it works, it works. What does it mean it's emes? If a person gets better, he gets better. Says the Ben Ish Chai, it's not so simple. There's a big advantage to turning to Hashem to be your primary doctor, so to speak, over a doctor of flesh and blood. Sometimes a doctor will prescribe a particular medication and the person will recover, Baruch Hashem. But there's something called side effects. And while he healed you in one area, it could be, even years later, a person will start to realize there were side effects from that medication, from that procedure. For example, a person, God forbid, can become sterile. God forbid, a woman will not be able to have children after that procedure. At the time, you're so thankful to the doctor, as you should be. And you think that this procedure has been perfect. Everything worked out exactly as I had hoped. But a person later realizes that it wasn't so simple. Other things you may not recognize in the moment. But later on, unfortunately, these things develop. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the final line, Rofei Nemanhu, Hashem is a true doctor, Sherefu Asso Emes. It's emes in the sense that what it's perfect from start to finish. Klomer amitas she'eino osa kilkul b'davar acher klal. I beg Hashem, take away whatever I'm suffering with and leave nothing in its stead. Let me be truly emes, a complete refuah shlema, without any side effects whatsoever. And I don't think it's just the side effects, right? What comes out after the fact that separates HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the ultimate doctor versus the doctor of flesh and blood. The process of healing through the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiviyachol, versus the hand of the doctor is also radically different. The way that Hashem heals is so much more gentle than the way that the doctor of flesh and blood heals. And it's alluded to in the pasuk itself. When we talk about the doctor's ability to heal, what did the pasuk say? What did the Torah say? V'rapo yirapeh. Right? V'rapo yirapeh. The peh has a dot in it. Right? It's the gusha. It has emphasis. V'rapo yirapeh. When we daven Shmoneh Esrei every day, we say, Rifa'enu Hashem v'nei rafeh. It's a much gentler sound. Right? The fe as opposed to the peh. What's the difference? Says Rav Uri of Strelitz, one of the great Hasidic rabbis in Source 13 in Zimrei Kodesh, Shamati b'shem Rav HaKadosh of Uri Mistrelisk, that he explained that Shekol Os Hadagash Meramiz Al Dina Kasha. Whenever you have a letter that has a dot in it for emphasis, that implies a certain strictness, a certain stringency of the din. V'harafa, but a gentle, a fey. Rifa'enu Hashem v'nei rafey implies what? Dina rafya hamtakas adinim. A certain sweetening of the din, a certain easiness, a gentleness through the process of din. So therefore, says Rav Uri Ostrelitz, when we dive into Hashem, we say, Rifa'enu Hashem v'nei rafeh. If it comes about by the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's so much more gentle. But if I have to turn to the people of flesh and blood, with all of their shortcomings and all of their inabilities, so then I'm forced to bind myself to the Torah's declaration of V'rapo yirapeh. And it's going to hurt that much more. So clearly the Torah, again, wants us to choose HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our primary doctor along the way. Again, partnering, of course, with doctors of flesh and blood, but keeping HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the picture. Now, these last two ideas, I think, have been, again, not overly critical of doctors, but then we come to a statement in Chazal that certainly will make some of us uncomfortable. I feel certainly uncomfortable sharing this Mishnah with everyone, but if Chazal say it, we need to try to understand it. There's a Mishnah at the very end of Maseches Kedushin, which has probably the most critical statement of doctors that you'll find in the writings of Chazal. I'm not going to pretend to know all of Chazals. I certainly haven't seen all of the Chazals. But from what I've gathered in preparing this year, this is the statement that really stings. What's the statement? Mishnah is describing the positives and negatives of certain professions, the advantages, disadvantages. And Rav Yehuda says the following. Rav Yehuda Omer, source 14, Mishabau in his name, in the name of the previous Tana, Hachamarin Ruben Rasham. The donkey drivers, most of them are wicked. There's a good chance they're going to try to rip you off. Hagamalin, the camel drivers who travel over the lengthy deserts because they're kind of out in the open elements, and if their camel breaks down, if they run out of water, they're in big trouble. They're not so quick to rip you off. They want to keep God in the picture. They want to stay on God's good side, so to speak. Same thing is true for sailors. Hasafan and Reuben Chasidim. If you're out at sea, you feel somewhat powerless, and therefore you're going to make sure that you stay again in a favorable way in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Mishnah says, Tov Shebarofim LeGehenna. Even the best of doctors are going to go to Gehenna. Very, very uncomfortable statement even to read. What's the pshat? How do you understand that? The best of doctors go to Gehenna. Really, it hits you hard. The doctor's working, he's doing whatever he can to hopefully, l'shem shemayim, for the right reasons. He doesn't go into the medical profession, hopefully, for the money. Certainly not bizman hazeh, that's what my father tells me. Right? But he hopefully goes into it for, you know, he goes into the, he wants to help people, he's doing what he can. Tov, the best of doctors go to Gehenna. How do you understand such a statement? It reminds me of a quote I once read from the French philosopher and author Voltaire, with the, well, Havdo, obviously. But he said, doctors are men who prescribe medicine of which they know little, to cure diseases of which they know less, and human beings of which they know nothing. Right? Very harsh. Now you cringe a little bit to hear such a statement. They're trying their best, they're working, they're doing what they can. Tov shevaro from the Gehenim. How do you understand the statement? So Rashi comes on the spot and explains the Mishnah to us. And he says, you know why? You know why doctors are in trouble in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says Rashi in Source 15, Eino yare min acholi. First of all, doctors aren't scared of sickness because they think they understand, they know the ins and outs of this illness, right? This could never happen to me. And not only that, umachilo maichol b'riim, they know which foods are so dangerous, which foods, right? Unfortunately, there are many doctors who are very unhealthy in their personal lives. But at least the doctor, he should know better. He should know what to eat to maintain a proper diet. The eino mishaber libo lemakom, he doesn't humble himself before God because, again, in his great wisdom and all of his knowledge and all of his efforts to heal this person, he takes responsibility for it. Feels that, you know, it's kochi votzim yadi, it's my efforts. Upam shahorig nefashos. And sometimes the doctor, unfortunately, will kill someone, even with the best intentions. And he has to answer for that. V'yesh b'yado l'rafos ha'ani v'enum rape. And at times the doctor, if he really cared about people, so why not go out and help all those poor people who can't afford any type of medical care? Why not help them for free? And yet he doesn't. So, tov shebro from the Gan. Rashi is pretty straightforward in understanding Chazal. Even the best of doctors have quite a bit on their plate to answer for. Now, I saw just the other night, I was very fortunate to find a pshat from Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger tries to flip the whole thing on its head. Maybe to be malami tzchus, to try to really move us away from this very negative interpretation of this Mishnah. Again, it's somewhat of a dachuk answer. It doesn't seem to be the pashut pshat in the Mishnah, but here's what he says. He says, to be a doctor, you have to have a certain personality. There's a certain achzarius that a doctor needs. To cut someone open, to stick needles into someone, right? These are procedures that, you know, many people are very uncomfortable. We cringe just to, if it's not your nature, if it's not your personality, it's very uncomfortable to you. But tov sheberofim, for a doctor, that's a very necessary midah. To have that midah of achzarius, that cruelty of sorts, in order to cut a person open and to stick them with needles, because it serves that higher purpose of healing them. So tov shebarofim, that which is good for doctors, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, it's a bit of a chassidish pshat, that which is good for doctors to use, this midah of achzarius, right, for someone else will bring it to Gehenna. For a person who's not a doctor, to use that trait of cruelty is totally inappropriate. Okay, a big lima schus to get the doctors out of trouble. I think probably best we should take somewhat of a middle approach. When Chazal say tov shebarofim l'gehenim, it's not talking about all doctors. It's talking about a particular type of doctor. And again, this is also a drash, it's not pashut pshat, but I think it really sheds light on what Chazal are getting at here. If a doctor, God forbid, loses sight of the fact that he's just an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's a partner, he's a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring about a refuah, when he loses sight of that, then he's lost sight of everything. And the pshat that's brought in several svarim, saw that Ron Cutler brings it in the biography of Irving Bunim. It's brought from other Svarim as well. The idea being that Tov is Gematria 17. We know there are 18 brachos, really 19 brachos with Zman Hazeh and Shron Asa. Right? If a doctor is only, if he only practices Tov, Shevarofim, if he only says 17 of the 18 or 19 brachos, then he's going to get him. Which bracha is he not saying with real Kavana? Refa'inu Hashem, B'nei Refa'in. Because he thinks it's in his hands. And I think Bizman Hazeh, when we have 19 brachos in Shmona Esrei, what other bracha would we have to say that the doctor is sort of leaving out to get to Tov, to get to Gematria 17? Maybe Shmakolenu, Atachonin Ladam Das, Hashem, all my wisdom, all of my medical knowledge comes from you. Someone was telling me this week, there's a woman, Dr. Lisa Sanders, she writes articles in the New York Times, and once she was describing how, you know, the doctor's hand is so much guided by God. She said she was doing research on a particular thing and studying for a particular thing and happened to come across an article and happened to have met someone who was suffering from a particular illness, and all these different things fell into place that she was able to you know, kind of land it in her lap, something that none of the other doctors could think of. Was she going to take credit for it? Right? Hashem set you up to be his shliach. But if you stop acknowledging that, if you're only tov, you say 17 of the 19 brachos or 17 of the 18 brachos, tov shebro from the Gehenna. As soon as you lose sight of a Kaddish Baruch Hu and try to take everything upon yourself, you've undermined the entire system. I read a story once about a young intern who had a particularly difficult night shift. And they were understaffed, and the head of staff said, if you run into trouble on your floor, I know there's a lot of procedures to perform, there are treatments, there are medicines to be distributed. If you need backup, give us a call. Don't hesitate to give us a call. And this young intern, wanting to prove himself, decided to take everything upon himself. And he spent the whole night, he's running around back and forth, trying to take care of everyone, and unfortunately an elderly patient passed away on that floor. And the family sued for medical malpractice. And after a long court case, the doctor said to this intern before the sentencing, do you have anything you'd like to say? He says, yeah, there's something I'd like to say. He says, I spent that whole night working my tail off, running from room to room, doing whatever I could to provide for everyone. And all I've gotten from this is legal trouble. And the doctor said, who told you to do that? They told you, if you need backup, call. And you took everything upon yourself. It's the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you need help, give me a call. Don't try to take it all on your shoulders. If the doctor tries to take more upon himself than he's capable of providing, then he's undermined the entire hetter. Right? The reshus has been given to the doctor to heal. But again, it has to be a partnership with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And a doctor has to realize what's in his hands, what's in his ability to do, and what's outside the bounds of what's appropriate for him to say. There's a sefer called Tkufos V'ishim, written by a fellow by the name of Reb Shapsei Sheinfeld. So he tells a story in there about the Chortkov Rebbe. He says someone, a chassid once, came to the Chortkov Rebbe crying, bawling. He said, the doctor tells me that my wife doesn't have this very dangerous operation on her head. In the next 3 months, she's gone. That's it, she's dead. And the Chortkov Rebbe looks at him and says, no one told me that I'm going to be alive in 3 days. This doctor knows who's going to live for 3 more months, or more than that, or less than that. And he said a line that many other chassidim have echoed throughout the generations. The Chos of Lublin famously said this. Rav Gifter used to tell people this. What was the idea? A doctor has permission to heal. A doctor doesn't have permission to decree death sentences. It's beyond the scope of what he's allowed to do. You have no obligation to listen to him. Like, given the circumstances, you have no obligation to listen to him. You have to do what you think is right, but don't be so easily swayed by a doctor who oversteps his bounds. So a person has to know his place. A doctor needs to know his place. And even the doctor decides, I'm going to take it upon myself. I'm going to go above and beyond. Right? In his, let's say, in his gaiva, he decides to leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the picture. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fight his way back into the picture. This next vart, it was hard to leave out. It's a little bit cynical, but I think it's worth hearing. And I think even though, again, it's a little bit cynical, maybe overly critical of doctors, a little bit poking fun at the doctor's ability to heal, it's important that we recognize it. In the Sichos Kodesh, in the Zichronos of the Baal Le'Yagid Yaakov, written by Rav Naiman. Naiman was a Belzer Chassid from Montreal, very chassid, well-respected, very wonderful person who passed away a number of years ago. So he wrote up some of the Zichronos of his Rebbe. And he goes back to the original question. Why is it that the Torah gave permission to the doctor to heal? Why not rely on Hashem? Why not put our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem has the ability to provide. So why not set up the system that way? And here's what he says. Again, it's a little bit cynical, but I think it's an important part. In the third line of Source 16. Raki Hashem Yisparach Yodei Machshavos. Hashem knows the hearts of men. Hashem knows that people like doctors. We like to feel, we feel comfortable when we're in the hand of the doctor. So Hashem says, you know what I need to do? Yeda di'efsher sha'adam b'chol yo yamin sh'omala yikra rofe ha'im rapeo. A person doesn't believe I can do nothing and be healed. So what does Hashem have to do? Hashem has to show you, fine, you want to put your faith in doctors? Let me show you how imperfect doctors can sometimes be. So the Torah goes and says, Al-kein ho'ra Hashem Yisparach, sh'yikra sarofa. You want the doctor? Fine, call the doctor. What happens? V'oz yischazik v'li bo ha'muna. And through calling the doctor, you'll have a deeper appreciation of Hashem. How so? Sh'yira sh'gam ha'rofa, eni yodei ha'muma, davar bar. The doctor tells you things and it doesn't come true. So you'll strengthen your emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The doctor tells you, take this medicine and it's guaranteed to work. It doesn't work. You come back, try this. This will definitely work. All right? That also doesn't work. Oh, try this. This is going to take a lot longer, but it'll work. He tells you 3 months of this medication, you'll probably clear up. Right? You take it for 3 days and you're better. And you say, this doctor is telling me all these things. He doesn't really know anything. I really should have trusted in Hashem Allah. So really, the Torah's heter to go to a doctor is really just a means for you to deepen your emunah in Hashem. Again, it's not pashup shad, and it may be a little extreme and a bit cynical, but it reminds us of the role of the shliach of flesh and blood in working with the Kadosh Baruch Hu to do his part. Okay, now I want to shift away a little bit, take the pressure off of the doctors, from my father's mochel for some of my remarks, and then let's shift a little bit to the chola. Because the person who's not yet well is the one who we really need to be mechazik. And then if, God forbid, any of us should ever find ourselves, we shouldn't know from it, but if chas v'shalom, a person finds himself in a situation where he's not well, he needs to have the skills, he needs to have the tools to cope, to deal with it. So I want to try to offer maybe some words of chizik, some advice, some things that a chola can think about. Now, it's important to realize that Not every time a person's not well do they want to hear these things. A person who's not well very often spiritually feels very disenchanted, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Now, you want to be able to daven, but you don't have the strength. You want to be able to learn Torah, but you don't have the strength. You want to be able to live your life like a normal human being, so to speak, and you don't have the strength. Right? And Chol has to realize that despite all of those difficulties in his life, with the proper Torah perspective, there's a lot that a Chol can in fact work on. Okay, let's just offer a few ideas. Right, number one, when the Avnei Nezer's one and only son, the Shem Yishmuel, was sick, his doctor sent him to the Czech Republic for the hot springs in Carlsbad, and he said to him, no learning Torah, just sit and relax and enjoy yourself and heal yourself. And for the Shem Yishmuel, for an Adam Gadol B'Yisrael, that was the biggest punishment in the world. No Torah? What am I supposed to do? You know, how can I survive without it? So he wrote a letter to his father, the Avnei Nezer, the Rebbe of Sokotchev, wrote a letter to his father, you know, what should I do? The doctors say no learning. I'm supposed to just sit here and relax in these hot springs. And his father wrote back, he said, let me tell you a vart. I'll tell you an idea that I heard from my father-in-law, the Kotzker Rebbe. He says, after the Milchama against Midian, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Moshe a very strange task. Source number 17. Parshas Matos. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe lemor, sa es rosh malkoach hashvi ba'odem uvehema. Moshe, Rabban Shal Yisrael, the one who gave us the Torah, I want you to go around and take an accounting of the spoils of war. Count up all these non-Jewish women who have been taken captive, count up all the animals, count up everything else that we've collected. Right? Moshe could have said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, you know, let anyone do this. Right? Anyone could go around and count. One, two, three. Anyone could do that. You have to assign me this task, this menial task of counting up the spoils of war. And yet, a few psukim later, what do we find? Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayas Moshe ve'elazar kohen kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Moshe did it so happily, so proudly, exactly what Hashem asked of him. Says the Kotzker Rebbe. Something as a simple task such as counting something up, right, which again was seemingly so beneath the dignity of Moshe, anyone could have done it. Any Jew from Klal Yisrael could have done it. And Hashem says, no, Moshe, I want you to do it. Says the Kotzker Rebbe, it comes to teach us that if a person is given an avodah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, regardless of how spiritual he feels that avodah truly is, that's his mitzvah and nothing else. The Avnei Nezer wrote back to his son. He said, your mitzvah is to get better. Sit in those hot springs. Don't touch a sefer. Don't feel bad about the davening that you don't have the strength to do. Don't feel bad if you even miss Chas V'Shalom putting on your tefillin one day. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. That's not your avodah. Your avodah, your mitzvah, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, is to focus on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you. And the Avnei Nezer very famously used to tell Cholim in Source 18, the Yitzhar is going to fight you tooth and nail. The Yitzhar is going to fight you when it comes to this mitzvah. Your mitzvah is to take care of yourself. Hu ayaragil tamid, this is from the biography of the Avnei Nezer. Hu ayaragil tamid lomer lechol chola, chola pater mikol mitzvos amuras b'Torah. A chola is exempt from every single mitzvah with one exception. He's mamish like Adam and Chava back in Gan Eden. He has one mitzvah. He has to focus on one thing. What's his mitzvah? His one mitzvah is what? Chos mi mitzvah achas minishmartim lenafshos eichem. Take care of yourself. That is your one and only mitzvah. Shekenegda merakei deyitzahara mafata shlo lekaima. And the Yitzhar is going to fight you. He's going to do everything to make you feel bad that you're not learning, that you're not davening, that you're not doing chesed, that you're not out in the world living a normal life. But your avoda is to focus solely on getting better. That's the first piece of advice I would like to offer for a chol tonight. Again, using our seichel, I once shared this with a chol and he was tremendously uplifted by it. But again, you have to know what a person's willing and able to hear. A second idea, which I think is even harder. And again, let's be careful how we absorb this idea. A chol has the unique ability, the unique avoda, of working on the concept of being mekabel yisurim ba'ava, to accept suffering and hardship with love. You know, a person starts to develop tzaras. Right? There's a strong temptation, the Torah acknowledges, that he wants to cut off the tzaras. If he cuts off his tzaras as it's developing, he'll save himself a lot of physical pain, he'll save himself embarrassment, he'll save himself from being forced into isolation outside of the camp. There's a lot of good reasons why he might want to cut off his tzaras. And yet the Torah prohibits it. Says the Sefer Achinuch, what's the idea? Why is he asked to keep his son, to wear that badge of dishonor so uncomfortable, physically, emotionally, it's embarrassing? Says the Sefer Achinuch in Source 19, Mishar Sheya Mitzvah. Why does the Torah prohibit you to cut off that tzaras? L'rameis to yispo kol adam eiza tzar ve'eiza onesh yanshehu Hashem Baruch Hu. To teach a person to bear the difficulties that were given in life. And if it's embarrassing, if it's painful, learn to be mekabel ba'ava. V'lo yivat behem. Don't reject the suffering that HaKadosh Baruch Hu places upon you. Because in the greater scheme of things, and again, it's hard for us to swallow such a vart, to internalize such an idea. And again, not everyone's who's not well is ready to hear such an idea. You know, it's easy to talk in the theoretical sense, but we should at least be aware of what one of the Gedolei Rishonim, the Sefer HaChinuch, tells us. Learn, prepare yourself not to reject the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Va'al yachshov shiya yecholis biyado levatal osam. Don't try to beat the system, he says. You can't fake out Hashem. Hashem wants you to undergo a certain punishment, a certain difficulty. Right? You can't hide from it. Rak yeshlo levakish tchina meis hakel yisbarach shu yishirapei. That Kadosh Baruch Hu should heal you from your illness. That is your avodah. That's what you need to do. To recover it ba'ava. It's important that a chola realizes that his suffering is not in vain. Right? Even if he's not, even if a person, let's say a chola doesn't have the ability to even have a positive attitude towards the suffering. But every bit of pain that a chola undergoes is a tremendous, tremendous otzer. Literally a storage house of merit from in the world to come. Rav, the stipler Gon sent a letter to the Rosh Yeshiva of the Panovich Yeshiva, Rosh Shmuel Rozovsky, who was dying of cancer. He died from cancer. And he sent him a letter to try to be mechazik him. And he told him the following. It's a very powerful letter. It was printed later in the writings of the Stipler Gon. Source number 20. Amru Chazal. Listen how the Gedolei Torah talk. Okay, and again, even the Stipler, with hesitation, approaches the concept of Yisurin Shalav. Says Chazal in the Gemara in Brachos, Chaviv in Yisurin. Yisurim, suffering is pleasant, is wonderful, is a good thing. And look what he says, beautiful lashon. You have to read it slowly to catch it. The kevin shechazal amru chavivin, harein chavivin. If Chazal say it's a good thing, then it has to be a good thing. As hard as it is for us to internalize that idea, if Chazal say it's a wonderful thing to suffer, then we have to somehow come to terms with that reality. Vehem atzlach, but why? And why is that so? He says vehem atzlach of osher gadol v'nora l'nyani olam haba. Every bit of suffering we endure in this world, all the more so a person who suffers for a long period of time with a prolonged illness, has a tremendous reward waiting for him for every bit of pain he experienced along the way. V'lachain, says the Stipler Gon to Shmuel Rozovsky, Mea Yisurin Shekvar Avru Yesh L'Smach Ma'od Ma'od. Everything that's behind you, all the difficulty that you've previously endured, you should take tremendous pride in. Ki hu revach she'ein l'shar v'umechaste Hashem Yisbarach Noram. Everything that's behind you, what a privilege, if you could say such a thing. But the Stipler Gon says, don't for a second think I want you to suffer anymore. V'achein odos l'haba. Everything that's in theory yet to come, chas v'shalom, tzrichin l'spal li natzim l'yisurim. I pray for you every day that you should have a refuah shleima, you should know no more pain. So to say to a chola who's struggling, who has so much behind him already, realize what's behind you. Realize what you've accomplished. Realize what you have in store for you in the world to come. Believe me, I don't want you to have a drop more pain. Like the Gemara says, lo hein v'lo scharon. I'll do without the suffering and I'll do without the reward. Right? I'd rather have neither. But to realize, again, what the chola has acquired for himself in the world to come. A second idea. A third idea, and this is really heavy. This is only for a chola who's undergoing the most intensive treatments. You know, my brother-in-law started his chemotherapy close to a year ago, and unfortunately he needs to have further treatments, which I have a shus to say, they're going to begin this Monday, God willing. Shav refuah shleima. It's hard for a person to wrap his mind around the concept of chemotherapy. It's mamish poison. I spent a night in the hospital with Chaim, and you know, literally his bodily fluids were toxic. To wear gloves, yeah, it's crazy. It's a very crazy thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should create a process by which using certain toxic chemicals can actually heal a person. It seems so crazy, so backwards, very hard to understand. And then I found Shabbat Shmaya. It was right around the time he had started his treatment one Shabbos. I picked the sefer, as I do often Shabbos morning, off my shelf to take the shul with me. I took a sefer from Rav Baruch of Mezhbush, and I found the following Dvar Torah, which totally changed my perspective again. A chola is in this type of illness. It's not always so simple to hear such a thing, but to realize what the chola has the opportunity to do. The sefer Butzina Dinahora, Rav Baruch of Mezhbush, one of the early Hasidic Gedolim, he writes the following. He says, "Ma ze kishnofel adam lemishkov b'chol imav." What's the pshat? A person gets sick. He falls sick into bed. As I take of nosim lo samim marm lerfua, and we inject him. We fill him with all sorts of bitter things in order to heal him. It's very strange, and not only because it's so bitter and it's so backwards in a sense, But what's the point? He goes back to the core question. What's the point of trying to do anything? I don't get it, he says. If a person, God forbid, is supposed to die, so what good is it going to help him to try to heal him? Either way, if Hashem wants to heal him, he's going to get better. And if he's not supposed to get better, so what are you meddling in the Kaddish Baruch Hu's business? He explains the following. It's a very deep idea, and it's a tremendously powerful idea. Again, be careful how you use it. When Adam and Eve sinned, sparks, holy sparks, came crashing down throughout the corners of the world. And there are sparks that found their ways into animals. There are sparks that found their ways into plants and into vegetables. There are sparks that found their way into the dirt itself. When a person does a mitzvah with any of those things, when a person eats an animal, he shechs it and he makes a bracha and it becomes the food on his Shabbos table. So he elevates those holy sparks, brings us one step closer to Mashiach. When he eats an apple and he makes the bracha on it, he elevates those sparks and brings us closer to Mashiach. When he plows the earth, when he deals with the mitzvot of Tfilas Baretz, he brings us one step closer to Mashiach, he elevates those sparks. What are you going to do with those sparks that fall into the lowliest places? Just like spiritually there are sparks that fall into very unholy places, physically there are sparks that fall into poison, that fall into toxic chemicals. So who's going to put those into their body? Who's going to involve themselves? Who's going to have any contact with such things in order to extract the sparks? I know I'm not signing up for that. And the truth is 99% of the Jews are not signing up for that and are not asked to sign up for that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a small percentage of people and assigns them as the shliach, as the messenger on behalf of not just their family, not just the community, on behalf of Klal Yisrael, to bring the Geula Shleima, that they are asked to do something that, again, none of us, God forbid, in a million years would ever want to do. And none of us are going to ask to do, and no one should have to do it. This should be the last time that anyone has to do it. But they're going to ingest, they're going to bring into their body poisonous chemicals in order to extract the holy fallen sparks that have fallen into such places. It's a very, very scary and powerful idea. But it could be a tremendous source of chizik for the chola. Realize that you are a shliach of Klal Yisrael. The same way the doctor is working as the shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring you the refuah, you're bringing Klal Yisrael one step closer. Your suffering is bringing the gula that much closer. I want to conclude with just one other little section very quickly for another 2 minutes, and then we'll daven Maariv. But you know, today people are very interested in alternative medicine. There are alternative medical schools that are popping up around the country. People getting back to all sorts of different types of healing and treatments, thinking a little bit outside the box. So I want to just, you know, somewhat b'derech tzchos, but somewhat very seriously, point out the alternative medicine that the Jewish people have always practiced. And that is Torah healing. Torah healing is a very real type of healing that the Jewish people have practiced for years, and it's really the ultimate medicine. The Gemara says in Source 22, the Gemara in Erevin, let's say you have a headache, chosh berosho, yasuk b'torah. You have a headache, so learn Torah, and your headache will go away. Who has the strength to learn Torah when you have a headache? But if you can find a way to do it, it'll work. Chosh begrono, yasuk b'torah. Your throat hurts? Good. So learn Torah. Chosh b'meyav, you have intestinal problems? Yasuk b'torah. Chosh b'atmosav, your bones are aching? Yasuk b'torah. Chosh b'chol gufo? Yasuk b'torah. No matter what's wrong with your body, alternative medicine, learn a little Torah, and it'll heal you. And the Gemara concludes Source 22, that when a doctor creates medicine, it works for some people, it doesn't work for other people. Hashem gave a medicine to the Jewish people that works for everyone and for the entire body. Hashem gave us the Torah, the ultimate medicine. And if you'll ask yourself, why is that so? Why does that work? Why is it that Torah should heal the physical ailments of my body? It gets back to the question that we asked earlier this evening. The answer is very simple. Our body is built on Torah. The 248 limbs of the body correspond to the 248 mitzvot asay. The 365 primary sinews that hold the body together correspond to the 365 losa asay of the Torah. And therefore, if I can get to the crux of my problem, if I can figure out, if I can tap into the corresponding Torah concept, automatically I'll heal that body part, that suffering. The Moray Naim writes in Source 23, Hineyem ein lo das. And again, careful with all these sources. Im ein lo das, a person who lacks understanding, what does he do? Mevakesh le'rofa refuaso. He goes running to the doctor. He tries to deal with things in a roundabout kind of way. Says the Moray Naim, why not go to the source? Acha emes hu. Im ayashav le'uma na Torah. If he runs back to the Torah, to the source of everything that the body is built on. Ki yeid einish penafshe lefashrei shemaisa muhus chatav. If he can find the root of his spiritual illness, then he's able to fix things. And he gives a mashal. He says, if a watch breaks, so who are you going to take it to? You take it to the guy who made the watch. He understands the inner workings of that watch. Go back to the one who created it. Go back to the source. And if you do so, you heal yourself in a very remarkable way. He concludes his words, source 23. Kachu gam kein b'inyin zeh. Tzarech leilech ala umen lahashiv alav chiyos ha-Torah im or ein sof baruch hu. Go to the source. HaShkadosh Baruch Hu metzamsem the Torah into a person. V'leitztarech lerofei agashmi. You won't even need the physical doctor at all. V'yachol yos sheyavolo harafua berega v'havein. Understand well, the refuah can come instantly if you can find the Torah source of that difficulty. And this is how the Jewish people have practiced medicine for years. Very fantastic Gemara in Source 24. Avram Avinu had this rock that he wore around his neck with which he would heal people, the Gemara says. Shechol chola haroa usom yad misrape. Right? Sounds like a very alternative type of medicine. This magic rock around the neck of Avram Avinu. Says the Rashba, quoted in the Ein Yaakov, you know what it means, the rock on his neck? He says the rock is often a reference to the Torah itself, to the wisdom. The wisdom that emanated from Avram's throat. Right? The Torah that he was speaking and the wisdom he shared with the world. That brought refuah to the world. The Gemara in Bava Basra says, the root of all medicine, the best medicine of all is wine. Says the Vilna Gaon. What's wine? Wine is Torah. Heviyani al beis hayayin. Right? The Torah again is always the medicine that we turn to in times of need. Rav Shach, when he was in his 90s, had to undergo a very difficult operation, a procedure for an infection in his foot. And Rav Shach said to the doctors, I don't want anesthesia, it's going to make me groggy, I'm not going to be able to give a shiur afterwards. So he says, just give me a few minutes to lose myself in Torah, and then you'll be able to operate and I won't feel anything. And the doctor said, that's, yeah, it can't be. He says, trust me. Give me. In his 90s he did this. Right? And I heard from a reliable source, somebody by the name of Isaac Ginsburg was there. He was there with Rav Shach at the time. He saw this with his own eyes. Rav Shach, you know, picked up a Gemara, started to be osik in a sugya, lost himself in the learning. The doctor was able to perform the procedure without any type of anesthesia whatsoever. Torah is the ultimate medicine, and it's important that we know it. So I leave you with the final source. A bracha, really a hope for all of us, for all of Klal Yisrael, for the whole world. Kadosh Baruch Hu is certainly in pain as well. K'v'yachol, Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you could say such a thing, is a little bit sick himself. Kadosh Baruch Hu is sick of the galus. Kadosh Baruch Hu is sick of not having a base of Mikdash. He's sick of not being able to bring Mashiach. And it pains the Kadosh Baruch Hu terribly. Says the vision to Rebbe, Shlita from Bnei Brak, K'chu mi'itchem truma la'Hashem. Pasuk in Parshas Vayakel. Take from yourself a truma to Hashem. K'chu mi'itchem. Hisbonu u'ru'u ba'atzmechem. Learn from yourself, from your physical pains. Hech shekol ka'ev katan b'gufcha mi'israchem. That any time, a little pain, it could be a headache, a backache, or God forbid, something more severe. Right? But every little pain, it troubles you, it bothers you. Alachas kam v'kam etzarach sheyichav tzar Hashem yisparach ha'gol ha'shrinasa. So we should channel that pain that we feel, if we can, if we have the head to do such a thing, if we have the spiritual ability to do such a thing, to think a little bit about the pain that Hashem has as he looks out over Har HaBayis and doesn't see the Beis HaMikdash yet. Vaz tishtadlu truma l'Hashem. Kechu me'itchem. Take from yourself, from your own suffering, truma l'Hashem, and offer it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mirtz Hashem, Klal Yisrael in the world should very speedily have Refuas HaNefesh, Refuas HaGuf, and Mirtz Hashem, we should see the Beis HaMikdash, descend the Beis HaMikdash al-Eish, b'mehir b'yameinu, amen. Good Shabbos.